to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? And that's all that's required is that you join me. Whatever we do together can be fun because we're together and we're not alone. And sometimes you need that. And sometimes you need to be alone. And sometimes you can be alone and with people. And sometimes you can be with people and be alone. I kind of like going to religious services, but then again, I don't. But if I do go, I prefer to be at a friend's house of worship where I'm not expected to know any of the traditions, and I can sit there in confusion and marvel at the mystery. Everyone knows when to stand and when to sit, when to say certain things, and I, an outsider, am not expected to know those things. The worst is going to a house of worship maybe from your own distant tradition, and you're no longer or never were familiar with everything, and yet you're sort of expected to know what to do. That's when I feel most alienated, and that's not my favorite thing. Also, what I don't like is being told what to think or having somebody inside my head, because my head is my private space, and I like to keep it private. And so I don't enjoy confessing or telling people what I think, nor do I like having to recite some sort of oath. So I just move my mouth like that sometimes. I'd rather fake it than lie. But I do enjoy the mystery. I like watching someone do some sort of ritual that I don't understand. They make some sort of motions or they have some sort of interesting objects. If I were going to start a religion, which they don't allow you to do anymore, you have to get in on the ground floor thousands of years ago, I would like to have some sort of ritual where you pretend to brush your teeth or something like that. Someone hands you the magical golden toothpaste tube, and then the leader pretends to brush their teeth. But I don't like leaders in general if they have some sort of authority over you. I know that's not good. It doesn't make me a very good employee, nor does it make me a very good congregant. But I do like the singing. I like people coming together in one space to unify their voices. I like being a part of something and no longer having the burden as an individual. It's not that I want to disappear into the crowd, but occasionally I do. It makes me feel part of something bigger. It takes the pressure off. You know, being an individual is hard. You think, gosh, I was born, I got this far. I'm not supposed to die. I'm supposed to keep myself alive. Maybe I'm supposed to do something. There's a lot of people that have suggestions about what that is. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I'm not doing it right. But when you're with a group of all different ages, you can see the big curve, the big arc of life, from annoying crying babies to annoying crying old people and all the annoying people in between. But some of them, a lot of them, are also very loving, or at least crave it. They're there because they want to help, some of them. Now, I don't know people's motivations, and yes, human beings organizing themselves in some sort of belief has caused a lot of strife in this world. Oh my goodness, the things we have agreed to think and believe and do because we are told that's how we must fit in. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. But then again, there's the singing. And you may say, well, Hardy, you should just go to a sing-along if you want that. Yeah, but sometimes it isn't creepy enough. There's something really menacing about a lot of religious music, you know? And also, some religious traditions integrate skeletons or something. There'll be maybe pictures of skeletons on the wall. Maybe you ought to go to a haunted house. That's different. There, people aren't intentionally trying to scare you. Or they are. Oh, I don't know. I'm a little bit confused. But I'll tell you something I do enjoy. Every once in a while, my friend Butchie, who is involved very deeply in his Dalgarian worship station, where he participates and likes to help out. You wouldn't think he's a helpful guy, but in that context, he wants to be. I think he very much wants to belong to something. And in Dahlgerianism, I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that they admire, they do not worship, dogs. I think they admire the loyalty, the simplicity, the lack of pretense that a dog has. A dog is just a dog, doesn't pretend to be anything else. And I think that's what the Dahlgerians are going for, but I'm not entirely sure of that. So I like occasionally going and to Butchie's services. And recently, I was able to do that. It was a special occasion of sorts. And so now, maybe you'd like to go there with me, friend. Would you? Let's visit. Lou, you're finally here. Where you been?
Shemp Jive.
Sorry I'm late. I couldn't find a parking space.
But I thought you walked.
I did, but I'm so used to driving, I got a little confused there for a minute.
Well, they haven't started yet, so it's okay.
Shemp Jive.
So how long is the service?
I think it's an hour.
An hour? Yikes, I'm not sure I can sit for a whole hour.
Well, you're in luck, because they make you stand every once in a while.
Probably just as I'm getting comfortable. At least there's no kneeling. I could get down on my knees, but I'd need a full hour to get back up. In my granddad's church, sometimes you'd have to stand on one leg, like if it was St. Simon Says Day. They got me one time by saying, "You may be seated," but they didn't say St. Simon Says.
Today is the blessing of the whatever. What did you bring to be blessed?
I brought my spoon shaped like a rifle.
Okay.
Yeah, Butchie used it the other day and it needs to be reconsecrated or something. That rattled me. What did you bring?
I brought my banjo.
Bold choice.
Blue?
Oh, hey, Mr. Kinchy.
I'm in the right place, then.
Yes, sir. You can sit with us if you'd like. Hardy, this is Glenn Kinchy, Butchie's old boss at McAllen's.
Ah, nice to meet you, Mr. Kinchy.
You can call me Glenn.
I will.
Okay, Glenn.
Not you. You continue to call me Mr. Kinchy.
Roger.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hey, Roger. Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
I've never been to a Dahlgerian service station before.
I think it's a worship station.
Oh, whoops.
The way I remember it is, there's services at the worship station, and service station is an old name for gas station. Do they even call them that anymore? No clue. I mainly walk these days, trying to get in shape for end-of-life illnesses.
I brought this clothes brush to be blessed because I remembered at the last minute and I just grabbed something.
That looks like an antique.
It was my grandfather's.
People don't brush their clothes as much these days.
They aren't worth brushing, usually. I'm sort of shocked how casually people are dressed here at this religious service.
I'm used to it because when I'd worship with my grandma, sometimes people were barefoot and maybe even eating glass if they were being ridden.
I see. Presbyterian?
Nah.
Hardy, you have religious experience?
Oh, Hardy knows a lot about different faiths. Heck, he even knows it's okay to wear a tallit at night if it's Erev Yom Kippur.
All right.
And he knows to clap his hands at a Japanese temple.
Well, you clap your hands at a shrine, not a temple.
See?
I've never been particularly interested in religion, but I do appreciate the costumes. People should look good.
Does everyone in your row have a blue book?
Hey, Don, Shemp Jive!
Shemp Jive. Anyone need a blue book? I have the coloring book, but not the blue book. And I think Glenn Kinchy needs one. All right, good. Here you go.
What's this?
It's Blue Book. It's their book of values. They change it all the time so you can look up the current value of a thing, like dressing up. Dressing up for services used to be worth more.
That's too bad.
And the shot glasses and penny whistles are in the holders in front of you.
Got it, Don, thanks.
And you're not members, so you won't need a finger puppet.
I think we're all set.
What did you bring to be blessed, Don? I brought my real estate agent's tape measure.
All right.
Enjoy the service. Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
Man, I love that guy.
Oh, that's Butchie on the Bema, isn't it?
I think it's called a narwhal or apex, but yeah, he's a big deal here. He's a reader, and readers get to use the bathroom in the back. I used it once by accident and was transported into a Tarkovsky movie.
Oh, which one?
Stalker.
It's a complicated theology, this.
It is. Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive.
Oh, we're starting.
Butchie brought Spiny.
What is that?
That's his dog, Spiny.
It's a skeleton.
It's a skeleton dog. It's a type of breed.
But it's dead.
No, it's just really, really thin.
It literally looks like a skeleton.
Hence the name.
But where are the organs? I can see right through it.
Oh, they're behind the rib bones. It takes some getting used to, but it's a healthy living dog.
Today is a very special day. It is the blessing of the whatever. For visitors, let me explain. We believe that blessing, or the need to wish and ensure goodness, is an active thing, not something that exists in the absence of compassionate intent. It is our job to make the world better for creatures and their surroundings. Blessed means happy, and some who are sick or oppressed are not happy. Perhaps they will have a reward later, but how do I know that? So I actively try to ensure that they are happy now if I can. Bless the poor, because they ain't happy. Remind yourselves and others that the poor need help. Bless the mourning, because they ain't happy. Remind yourselves they need comforting now. Bless the meek, because they ain't happy. Actively defend them from bullies right now. Bless those who are victims of injustice, because they ain't happy. We need justice now, not some promise of post-death space justice. Bless the merciful, because they ain't happy. Sometimes you gotta give things up to do what's right, so help those people who forego revenge. Bless the innocent souls, because they ain't always happy, because they have their world shattered by fear and loss, and they are sweet and often children, and so they need guidance because the bad stuff in the world messes with your head. Bless the peacemaker, because they ain't happy. It's no picnic trying to calm anger and prevent war and strife. Those people are often punished for their good hearts and love of peace. Actively take their side. Bless the persecuted, because they ain't happy. Come on, they're persecuted. Help stop the persecution. Don't make their suffering a virtue. Bless the hated and maligned and slandered, because they ain't happy. It's the worst to be cast out and unjustly scorned. Stand by the oppressed. Do the work now while you're alive. If there is something afterwards, fine, that'll be a bonus. But for now, it looks like it's up to us poo-bag creatures. Now comes the blessing of the whatever. Hold up your stuff or animal or whatever and prepare to have it blessed.
Thank you, Butchie. Beautiful reading of the Mounted Sermon. We come together today to bless those things or creatures in our lives that make them just a little bit better and to remind ourselves of the ability of the tangible to be transformative. I look upon my coffee mug here that says, "Go get 'em, preacher," and I am reminded each morning when I have my coffee that it is within my power to change things for the better, to lighten burdens, and to be of help. I see so many wonderful things out there, a bird and a snake, and while some of these things might be repulsive to us, like that banjo,
oh, great.
We still know that they reflect the values and aspirations of our siblings in the world at this time. We ask then of ourselves to show goodness, to remind each other of the goodness we are capable of, and to actively work to face and repair the injustices that we observe. When we gaze upon those creatures and objects in the coming days, may they be a reminder. So I put my hands up like this and say, bless. Okay, you're all good. Put down your whatever.
Thank you, Preacher Lancaster. We now have a very special treat. A performance of our worship station's praise band, Righteous Clown Parade.
Praise band? Oh, no, this is mortifying.
Leading the praise band tonight...
Oh, stop saying praise band.
I know, cringe.
...is our friend Don B.S. He will be performing a song in a rap style.
Oh, you're killing me.
I love my friends, but this is brutal.
And it's a song about lifting up hearts.
Oh, please be short.
Introducing RCP doing this song, Hip Hope.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
Praise, praise, everybody, praise, raise your hand. Life is grand, stand for a minute. Bless the world you're in it for a while. You don't have to smile at your sad cry. Why would I stop you? Kneel if you feel it, shout if you mean it. Testify if you've seen in the face of a sibling. In this race, if you're driving rather insane, cause the pace of existence has my small brain tied up in knots. Your world is perfect, I think not. Spiritual astronaut in a space filled with sorrow for the burdens of the people who are innocent as children still are. You strip away the armor of their soft hearts. Who loves love and promises of justice? Us, that's right. Bless us always and tonight. Can I hear a Shem John?
Yes, John!
Everybody is alive today. Praise, 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 bless, 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 bless.
Oh, that was just so embarrassing.
Yikes. Just tell him it was good.
I rather liked it.
Okay, Mr. Kinchy. They should ask you to play a banjo song, Hardy.
Can we now get Hardy up here to improvise a banjo song since he saw fit to bring such a thing into our world?
You better do it, man. When in a Dalgarian station, do as the Romans would do.
Butchie, I can't. You have to.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Hardy. Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive. Shemp Jive.
This is rather embarrassing. I didn't have anything prepared. I know you want me to improvise, but this is, I hope this is all right. I'm just going to try to do something, from the heart. And I brought my banjo.
Boo.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so let me try to do this, and, thank you, and I apologize in advance.
I love my friends, even the ones I haven't met yet. I love my friends. Everyone's a potential friend. I love my friends, whether I've known them a long time or just met them. I love my friends. I love my friends. I love my family.
Maybe you're in my family.
I love my family.
Family can be anything, really.
I love my family.
I know that some people don't have their family is a source of pain or difficulty. And so when I say family, I really mean the kind of friends that you can really count on, or people that are there if you're sick or dying or something like that. So super, super close ones who have seen all of your warts and all, and they still accept you.
I love my family, even though I haven't met some of them yet.
Even though it doesn't go well all the time.
I love my life.
Well, I don't know. Not everybody should, but I don't know. Sometimes that's a hard one. I want to.
I love my life.
No, I do. I'm just so lucky to know all of you. And I think my life without all of you in it would be meaningless.
No one's an island, and if they were, they'd be so lonely.
I just want to use this time here to thank you for accepting me and my banjo. I know that it doesn't bring everybody as much joy as it brings me, but I do my best. Thank you.
I think I can say without fear of contradiction, that was underwhelming.
I rather liked it.
Okay, Mr. Kinchy.
Thank you, Glenn. I tried my best.
Did you, though?
Yes, I wasn't prepared.
How do you prepare to improvise?
Well, there's mental preparation.
Please get out your blue books for the unison reading beginning on page 212. Are you ready?
Yes, we are ready.
You know how this works?
We think so.
I read one line, then you all read the next together.
We all know what unison means.
I know, but still I need to check.
We understand.
You can't assume that people will just know something.
It's better to repeat information, even if it makes you look silly.
Yeah, so no one is left out.
Exactly. We don't want to exclude anyone.
Or make them feel alienated or an outsider.
No one wants to feel like an outsider.
I couldn't agree more.
We are all on the same page then.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Even though we may not be in sync, we are all still doing this together.
And there's something about many voices coming together that's inspiring.
Because we are reminded how magical it can be to cooperate.
And express our fondest hopes.
Even if they are prepared text.
Not everyone can articulate their feelings.
But they can agree with a sentiment.
Indeed.
I'm glad that we can come together to share our values.
Remind us what they are again.
To lift up those we can, and help those we can, and fight for justice when we can, and be unafraid to feel.
That sounds good to me. I mean us.
Me too. It is now time to read from the Book of Relevant Stories. You can follow along in your coloring books if you want to, because for some people, they like to be doing a physical activity while listening because it helps with concentration.
That's me. I'm a kinetic learner.
Once there was a pirate ship of sorts. The captain was a time anomaly and duplicate of the 15th century German artist Albrecht Dürer, who, when working on the problem of doubling a cube, accidentally created an alternate universe with himself transformed into an incompetent pirate captain who accidentally shanghaied a bunch of hat makers thinking they were sailors. One day...
Bosun.
Yes, Captain.
I have a question.
What is it, sir?
You have to answer honestly.
I'll try.
Do you hate me?
No, that's easy.
You don't?
No, don't hate you. Oh, that's a relief. I thought you were going to ask about your hair or something.
What about my hair?
Oh, nothing, sir.
Why don't you hate me?
Why would I?
Well, for the very legitimate reason that I kidnapped you and the rest of the crew and brought you aboard this ship against your wills and that you aren't even sailors, which makes the task I'm forcing you to do even harder.
You make a good case, Captain.
Thank you.
I must admit, I personally hated you for about the first 111 months at sea.
Well, what changed?
It was Seaman Harding, sir.
Oh, is he one of the little below-deck men?
Indeed. Made some fine hats back on the mainland. He was telling us one day about how he once hated a boss, and the hate he and others had for that person made the boss even meaner. But one day, they thought they'd just stop hating him and try to offer the sour old man a path to redemption.
What does that mean?
They figured that they'd never really tried to change the man's heart, and that it would be better for everyone if he saw the error of his ways and turned his attitude and heart around.
Is that even possible?
Sometimes, sometimes not.
Go on.
But they thought they'd give it a shot. So Harding talked to the fella and said, "Look, we will, if you want, fully accept you and treat you like a sibling if you stop tormenting us. We offer forgiveness if you agree to change."
And?
It threw the boss for a loop. He'd had a bad go of it, and no one had ever offered him a way out. It was the excuse he needed. He was terrified of rejection, and so he hid behind an arbor of cruelty.
Well, that can't possibly work on everyone. Some people are just awful.
True, true. It doesn't work very often. But how would Harding have known if he didn't try? He decided to give the man a way out of the terrible prison he'd built for himself.
So the men below decks there, do they hate me?
Not so much anymore. I believe if you asked for forgiveness, they'd give it to you without reminding you of your past. But...
But what?
You have to be willing to change your heart, sir.
Oh, yeah. I detested the crew because I assumed they hated me. I know I made a mistake. All these years at sea have given me time to think. But I felt trapped by the past, by the decision I made.
I think there's a way out of this, sir.
If I go below, that's where they all live, right?
Yes, below decks.
They won't tear me apart?
No, sir. They're a good-natured lot and find comfort in each other's company.
Take me there.
Now remember, you have to ask to repent and be forgiven. There's always a chance they might say no, but I bet they won't.
I'm frightened.
That's good.
Come on, let's do this.
Avast, me hearties. The captain is here and wants to say something.
Oh, yes. Boat people, sail folk. I have done, I may have done, I ask forgiveness for my unspeakable evil that I have done to you and your families. I see now I am a fool and a weak man. I beg your forgiveness and ask a path to redemption. I shall, from this day forward, be your champion and not your oppressor. Do you forgive me?
No, no.
Oh no.
Oh, they're just kidding, Captain. Wanted to make sure you were sincere.
I am.
Yay!
Then of course you're forgiven. You're one of us now.
I've got some cider for you.
Oh, thank you. I've never had zoider.
He means cider, sir.
Oh, of course. I have friends.
Well, whoa, let's take this slowly.
Oh, I understand.
We are all in the same boat, though.
It's a ship, but yes.
It's cooperation what'll get us to shore.
I see that now.
We hereby rename you with your haberdasher name. No longer are you Captain Durr. You will now be known as Albert Trilby.
Oh, I love it. And from that day forward, the captain was a new person. And by working together, they all reached land, where eventually they were reunited with their families, some of whom were already dead. But whatever. You can't undo the damage of past bad actions, but you can turn and try to change and repair. Not everyone can be redeemed. They must want it. But it must at least be offered. A cornered animal is dangerous. Give it a path to freedom. If it chooses to stay and attack you, at least you tried. Shemp jive.
The other day, I got to do a Zoom benefit for the radio station. And there were a lot of you there. And after it was done, now I didn't get to look at the computer as much as I wanted to because I had to put away all my hats. I saw there were a lot of people there still talking and visiting. They were laughing and clapping and speaking to one another and saying shemp jive. And I didn't get to see it all, but I heard about it and I saw a little bit of it. And I got very excited because even better than watching me is the idea that you were watching one another, that you were able to come together. Because when I speak to you on the radio like this, I know it's a group activity. You may not know that, because listening can be a very solitary thing. But know this, you are literally not listening alone. You may be divided by time and space from other people, but you're both spending time with something you like. And I'm never going to criticize you for liking me. Oh my gosh. I'm not sure it's justified, but I don't care. I'm never going to turn down love. I'm never going to turn anybody down who says, I appreciate what you've given to me. I would never diminish a gift. If you like something that I've made for you, I think that's enough. I've gone to people's houses where they serve you a meal and you go, wow, that is just the best thing I've ever eaten. And they say, oh, I messed it up. I usually do it better. I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that. I think you've done a great job. I've gotten just what I wanted. All you really need to say is, thank you. There is no better than pleasing someone and making someone happy. There's no next level to that. That's enough. And you can do that in all sorts of ways. So when I saw people coming together, people that I know, a lot of you, I have interacted with you either over the internet or in person. Some of you are real friends. Some of you are virtual friends. Some of you are future friends. But what you all have in common is you've all given me something. You've given me the gift of your time and attention. And I think that's so wonderful. And then to have you meet, that's a pleasure in real life too. You say, I have these friends and they don't know one another, but I know them. And I think that they would enhance one another's lives. I think if they met, their worlds would expand. They would find another kindred spirit. And so when that happens in our community, it's just like kind of church, but without the hassle. No one's asking you to agree with anything. No one's asking you to believe anything. Do you believe that I'm real? It does not matter. You don't even have to believe I'm really here. You don't have to agree with everything. I like the Three Stooges. Do I agree with everything they do or present? Absolutely not. Oh my gosh, sometimes I'm appalled. But you know, I've learned how to learn. And you learn by seeing things and thinking about them. So if I'm watching an old movie or something and I watch something that's dated or even offensive, I think about that. I don't make excuses for the performers or anything. I think, wow, we've come a long way, or wow, we haven't come a long way, or people. But I try to learn something from it. I try to keep my eyes and my ears open. And I really like doing that in a group of people. Now, have you ever gone to a movie or a theater performance? I call them a play, I guess. Well, they're not always a play. Sometimes theater can consist of other things, like maybe just somebody smashing an egg into their head. That's pretty good. I don't know. That's performance art. Is not all performance art? Maybe not. I don't know. I like to decide. Invite me to your performance and I'll decide whether it's art or not. No, that's not true. But I will think about things that I see and I will learn something. Learning negative things, learning positive things, it's all wonderful information and it helps me navigate the world. If it helps me understand people, then I am less inclined to make a mistake with their feelings. Why do you care about people's feelings? Because I want them to care about mine. I want them to understand me, and so I shall try to understand them. If we are all together, maybe we can let down our armor a little bit. If we come together in some way that we seem equal or equally vulnerable or equally powerful, then maybe we'll learn from one another. It's very tough to learn when there's a power discrepancy. And I remember that in school. Some teachers were good about not emphasizing that. Others, not so much. There were those who, I think, delighted in the inequality there. Granted, the teacher knows more than the student, or should, but a lot of times I think that sometimes people feel diminished by their own shortcomings and seek to put themselves in contrast with someone weaker or less knowledgeable as a way of seeming stronger. But there were those, and many more of this type, who were there because of their eager desire to share something. When I learn something, as you know, whether I have mastered it or not, I immediately want to share it. If I get something, I want to share it. And it's not necessarily because I have some kind of big heart or I'm enlightened or anything. I just am naturally lonely, maybe, or someone who delights in communicating. And I find that
when you're having an experience together, that's the best kind of thing. I think everybody in the world finds that. That's why with friends, we like to do something. What do you want to do? You could just sit around and stare at one another, but you don't learn that much. What you learn is when you eat cookies together. Which type of cookie did you like? I like this one. Why? Well, I like coconut. I don't like coconut. I do like coconut. That was me doing a character. That was not like coconut guy. Oh, I don't like coconut. But I happen to. So if you're going to make me cookies, it's fine. Coconut is in it. I'll eat just about anything in a cookie. I'll pretend that there's certain things I don't like. Say, oh, I don't like raisins. But that's not entirely true. If there's raisins in an oatmeal cookie, that's pretty fine to me. I don't like mistaking raisins for chocolate chips. Then there's a little disappointment that kicks in because I'm thinking, oh, it turns out it's dried fruit. I thought it was a good piece of chocolate. But really, I'm very open to all sorts of flavors. It's a matter of context. I've had some food that I thought I wouldn't like, but because I'm having it with people I like or love, it's suddenly pretty amazing. Now, does the food taste different than it did when I was alone? Maybe not. Maybe it's just that I'm seeing how to enjoy it. I don't understand. I don't either. That's why we're together, experiencing this together. Oh, I sometimes get a little shy when they tell you at these things to hold your neighbor's hand. That is difficult sometimes. I'm not big on that. But once I do it, I'm fine. It's just the initial contact of holding a stranger's hand. I think it's because I'm sort of sensitive. And so when you're holding that hand, maybe it's a little too much for me. But I'm okay. Maybe I should wear gloves. Did people used to wear gloves to church and everything? I have this memory of my great-grandmother wearing gloves. I'd never been to church with her, so that's weird. Had I been to church with my grandmother? I don't know. My family contained a lot of different religions, so we didn't always go to the same houses of worship. But I learned sort of how to fit in at all of them. And then I started really enjoying that because I felt like I wasn't part of any one thing, but I could understand it. It's so much easier to understand things when you're not being actively oppressed or hit over the head with them. You know what I mean? I like a baseball bat because I've never been hit with one. But I think if somebody was always, like, poking me with a certain kind of knitting needle, I wouldn't like knitting very much. Therefore, it's nice to be an outsider and just observe, and often those people can tell you what's good about your tradition because you know what's bad, probably, because you've got to have been there and say, oh, I can see how these ideas that might be noble, I don't think any of them started really nobly. Now, something that I don't understand is I do have a lot of friends that are interested in these traditions, and some people like talking about theology or beliefs as if they have nothing to do with people or as if everybody literally believes the same thing. And I know this is not true, even within the same tradition. People have a lot of different ideas. And so when you encounter someone from that tradition, you say, your people believe this. I know I read it in a book. Not entirely accurate. The reality is often much different than that. And the deeper reality is that there are people that show up for all sorts of different motivations. And there are subtler things, experiential things, emotional things that we don't understand. And I don't understand them fully. But I try to, because sometimes things in which the negatives are very evident. You've got to think, well, is there something else that's causing someone to avoid what I see as a negative? And often it's human interaction. Often it's helping or cooperating. Even if those people don't profess to really believe in cooperating, they like to do it. Even though they might see the world in a way that alienates or makes a hierarchy of other beings or puts themselves up as superior or something, they still have room for some equality, even within their small group. It's like the most evil people on earth sometimes like their friends.
You know what I'm saying? And so I try to look for those things, and I try to realize that all human individuals are different. Everybody seems to be different. And so it's really easy to generalize and everything, but I try, and it's painful, and I make a lot of mistakes, but I try to approach every person with a certain openness, and then I allow them to close it. So when I say that people are my friends until they decide they're not, I mean it. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be the best friend or I'm not going to make mistakes too. Oh, yes. I don't require you to ever forgive me. That's silly. I don't require you to do anything. I'm going to try, but I'm going to fail too. Oh, sometimes I am going to fail. And I want somebody to be a little bit patient with me. And I know if I want patience, I have to show patience. If I want understanding, I'm going to have to show understanding. If I want forgiveness, this is the hardest one, I'm going to have to show forgiveness. And this one's even harder. If I'm going to ever redeem or repent for something really bad that I've done, I have to give others a path to redemption. And that is the hardest of all. Because you think, well, they just don't deserve it. And why would I? But I don't believe that if you open the door for somebody, you got to keep it open forever. You just have to open it. It's like an animal or something. Maybe I should give this animal a path to leave. This bear seems to want to attack me. Maybe the bear feels that there's no way out. So I will give the bear a clear path. Now, if the bear continues to pursue me, then I'll have to do something about it. I'm not going to turn a cheek to a bear. A bear doesn't just hit you lightly on the cheek. It takes its bear claw and removes the cheek and all the flesh from your skull, and then you're just, you've just half a skull face. And that might be okay in the movies, but very few people can sustain that faceless lifestyle if they've been encountered a bear like that. And so I am well aware that you must give that snake or that bear or something that you deem dangerous some kind of way to get out of it. And I've tried to do that with friends or people that I think are mean. I try to give them a way to change. Because if somebody feels trapped, they double down and they triple down and they quadruple down. And you can, if I knew all the rest of the numbers involved, they Google down. And they will do it repeatedly because we protect our hearts at all costs. We protect ourselves at all costs a lot of times. So if you feel threatened, you say, why would I drop my armor in front of these that hate me? Now, maybe they have a reason to hate me, but I'm not going to be a fool and let them take their revenge on me. But I say this, maybe that's perpetuating it. I don't know, and I don't speak to specifics because that's the worst thing you can do. If I was to talk about specific individuals, then we'd get into some kind of unwinnable argument. So I always like to speak in the abstract because I trust you to know when that is. You can keep your eyes open. I like to keep my eyes open when I'm in a haunted house. I'm still going to get scared, but I like to see what's coming. I like to be scared a little bit. I want to see all the details of the monster that's coming at me. They tell you in dreams if someone's chasing you, something's chasing you, turn around and look at it. Say, well, that might be bad. It might and it might not. Everything is a calculated risk. Every decision you make is really based on a limited amount of knowledge, I think. And so there's never a sure outcome for anything. Everything's a bit of a gamble, but things have different odds. And it's a pretty big gamble when you open your heart. It's a pretty big gamble when you give somebody a path to forgiveness. And no one should ever be expected to forgive somebody who has hurt them. I wouldn't force anybody to do that.
And sometimes it's not a good idea. Sometimes we feel forced to do it. I would never do that. So you have to forgive this person. No, I don't. You don't. And you don't have to say what's in your head. So you shouldn't carry a grudge. I can carry a grudge all I want, to be honest. But, you know, revenge is a different thing. And grudges do sort of burden you. So they might not be the best thing. Now, occasionally the Bible gets things right. The Jewish and Christian Bible. And let me talk about the Hebrew Bible for a minute, because it has something that people quote a lot. And I would just like to comment on it, because I'm an utter fool. And you haven't, I know you say, I've heard lots of fools do Bible commentary. I know, I just want to give you a little extra in case you run out, you might have forgotten. But here's a foolish person's take. There's a verse in there. Now, one time they asked Rabbi Hillel, who's that? Well, if you've ever been to college, you've seen his center. He's got a little center there. But he's an ancient person. And long story short, somebody asked him to sum up the Bible, or his religion, rather, while he's standing on one leg. And he said, I'm not going to stand on one leg. That's stupid. I'll just do it. What you mean is make it short, right? And that's why we call it a Hillel sandwich. But what he said is this. He said, love your neighbor as yourself, now go study. Something like that. What he's saying is that there's a simple answer and there's a complex answer, and they go together. Like, it's one thing to say, love your neighbor as yourself, and it's another thing to do it, because it means applying that in a bunch of situations. So it means always having to noodle your way through all this. Oh, if there was only a hard and fast rule. Now, I'd like to add something to that particular verse, because it does occur in that Hebrew Bible. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. But then if you keep reading, it says, don't hold a grudge or revenge. Because it isn't just about doing a thing. Sometimes you got to get into your head and let go of some of that stuff. Have you let go of all your anger for people? No. Oh, no. I still hold grudges. I still think about revenge for being wronged. I have to work on it all the time. And there's a very good chance I may die before I am done doing this. But I don't stop. I would never stop digging a hole just because it kept caving in. What else am I going to do? There's not a lot of things to do in life. I don't mind striving. I don't mind pushing the thing up a hill if it keeps rolling back. Literally, what else is there to do? I'm not going to sit on the rock at the bottom of the hill. I might as be doing something, occupying my time. If I get it to the top, then I achieve a momentary joy. And maybe I'll roll it over the other side, and it just rolls back down in the valley, and I got to do it all again. I'll keep doing it again. I like things that are a little bit absurd, a little bit futile. I don't mind things that are futile. I don't mind it. That's the nature of things. I do them, and they get undone. I plant. I get my tomatoes. Now my tomato plants are dying because it's the end of the season. And I got to do it all over next year. And I got to pull them out now. And I got to redo everything I did once again. But I pray and I hope and I wish that I get to do it again, because I want to. And I don't care that it doesn't stay done. I don't care that my forgiveness doesn't always stay forgiven. I always say, oh, yeah, I forgive you. And then I don't really. And I'm a fool. But nobody's not a fool, are they? Maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't mind if I have a foolish teacher. I don't care if you're teaching me how to make pies. I'm not so sure that I care that you don't have great interpersonal relationships. I mean, everybody's got some strong things and some weaknesses. some things some people will say, and they've said it to me, say, I'm not good at anything. And then a lot of times those people are absolutely the best friend, the best person, the most wonderful creature to be around. And that, to me, exceeds any kind of skill necessarily. You could be the world's best violinist and be absolutely no fun or absolutely no help. You know what I'm saying? And people's admiration for you might be just that, just a distant admiration or even an envy. Or they just enjoy what you do, but they might not care two licks about you as a person. And I think some people find that out too late. They go, oh, I'm all successful. Why can't I? What's wrong with that? I've impressed all these people. In what way? In what way? Oh, I know some gentle people. I know some people who struggle. There is no guarantee in this life. And a lot of people that I know and people that I admire don't know I admire them because they feel like they haven't done anything because they're struggling so much. Look, you come in, you can't pick the family you're born into, the circumstances you're born into. You have sometimes very little control about the things that happen to you. You have very little control of your body often. Often, you have very little control of your mind. Imagine that. Imagine that your brain is not even in your control. I try to keep that idea all the time. When I meet other people, when I meet other creatures, I have to understand that everybody is clawing their way through in confusion. They are sitting in an alien church service, an alien religious ceremony. They're not sure what's going on. They're looking around at others. They're just doing what they do. Everybody stands up, they stand up. Everybody sits down, they sit down. But sometimes they don't even know who started that. Who's the first one to stand up? Maybe we're all following somebody. Maybe we're following no one. Maybe our behavior like that is like a murmuration. Birds in flight. How do they do that? How do they turn and swoop like a tornado? People have studied that. How do all the birds know which way to go? And I don't know what the solution is, but I think it has something to do with each bird is watching the bird next to it. And in some crazy gestalt, that comes together to make a thing, to make a shape, to make a pattern. We're all just kind of looking at each other. It might not originate anywhere. Who are you copying? I don't know. Someone recently asked me, I just met a new friend, and they said, you're on the radio. I say, yes. They say, who are your influences? And I didn't know. It was the strangest thing. I mean, I'd listened to radio my whole life, and I guess all this thing's going in my head, but I couldn't think anything. But I knew I wasn't original. I know that everything out of my mouth is unoriginal. But where's it coming from? And maybe I'm influencing somebody. And if I don't know what caused it and they don't know what caused it, what's causing it? It's a very strange thing to me. I look in mirrors, you know, and I think that things. I think when there's ever that kind of mirror image recursion, I go, which is the original image here? Is everything a reflection of itself? Is nothing at the center? How many licks does it take to get to the center of causation or reality or something? It seems like almost an infinite amount. And if it's infinite, it might not have any beginning or any end. And I can't conceive of that. That's just so strange to me. But if something has no beginning or no end, there's an awful lot that can cram in the middle of that. You could just start cramming stuff in the spaces. I have a closet in which I keep towels and sheets, and it appeared full years ago. And I have since then shoved things in between things, and I keep doing that. And there keeps being space, so I don't know if the closet is infinite or what, but there seems to be an infinite amount of space between the things. So I don't even care what's on either end. I don't even care about the beginning or the end of things. The middle is so rich, so dense, and it itself may be infinite. What if there's infinity between the seconds, between all the moments? It feels like that sometimes when I'm enjoying myself. The other day, when I saw your faces, some of you, briefly, I was overwhelmed. Maybe it's because I was busy, but there's another reason I couldn't look. It was too much. It was almost too much joy. All the people. And if you've lived a little while, you've seen people come and go. You've seen children grow up. Oh, that's a hard thing. I've known a lot of babies, and now I'm almost an old man. You are an old man. Now, come on now, just a minute. Now I'm almost an old... You're an old man already. All right, it's relative. I do look like an old man, I will grant you that. And I feel like one, and chronologically, I sort of am one. All right, you win. But now that I've seen babies who are now adults, and babies who have now had babies, and now I've seen middle-aged people grow old and die. I've seen young people die. I've seen friends come and go. So I'm getting a larger picture. And when I see all those faces together, in coming together in joy, coming together in to share their values, and that value be love and acceptance, like you're part of the group because you're part of the group, it moves me. I wish I wasn't so, you're so sentimental, and you're always, I wish you could come over to my head. It's pretty wonderful. I let myself feel and break all the time. I couldn't be any other way. Like, why would you go halfway? I get on that roller coaster. I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid to be mad and sad. I get as mad as can be. I'm not afraid of anger. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm not afraid of sadness. I'm not afraid of joy. And sometimes joy can take your breath away. Sometimes beauty can. All of those things. Let them break me, because I know I'm not breakable. You say, well, some of us are. Yes, I understand that. I understand that. And I have feel like I've been broken. See, but the thing is that a lot of times others can put you back together again. And maybe I depend too much on that. But I know that they're there for me and I'm there for them. If we're a big raft of humanity, none of us sink. If we're all linked together, none of us can go down. If we're all tied together, any one of us who falls in that crack is going to be lifted up. Got to keep tied together like we're mountaineers. Mountaineers, so if you fall into the crevasse, you don't fall very far because you're tied to a lot who aren't. Oh, my friends, thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for coming to Butchie's Dalgarian Worship Station's Blessing of the Whatever. And I want to give you a blessing. What is that? It's just a hope. It's just a wish. It has no power. It's not magic. I just want to bless something that you love and care for and give it an extra aura of goodness, because I think that our imaginations can elevate our experience to the next level. And so if you pretend for a minute that I'm sort of magical or something, I'm not. But if you just pretend for a minute that I can do something, no, I can't. Let me do this and bless you and give you goodness and lighten your heart and give you some joy or some energy that you feel you lack. Oh, my friend, I'm putting out some love to you. It's the real love, the messy kind, not just the kind we talk about, but the kind that comes with all sorts of seeds and stems, that kind of love. You know, that's got the peel still on it. It's got the shell still on it. You got to pick through it. But, oh, it's a gift. It's like when a cat gives you something dead or something, you know. It's the thought that matters. And I'm putting my thoughts out to you, saying thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you for letting our hearts and our minds join together today. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org. Thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. A long way from home. This world out here is lonely and cold. This world out here is lonely and cold. I guess I'll turn back home. I guess I'll turn back home. back home. Why did I leave the one that I love? Why did I run away? Now let me go and stay. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.